When Bruce asked me to do this, first of all, I felt very humbled. Second of all, I felt very unworthy. And I guess that's okay because I'm stepping out of my comfort zone. Never done this format before, so we'll get through this the best that I can, or the best that he and I can. I always do better if I include my higher power in my box. Like I said, I believe for me that step 11 is probably the most important step. But that being said, it wouldn't mean anything if I hadn't done the first 10. It opened me up to a new way of life once I was willing to willing to allow a higher power to become active in my life. I've always believed in God. That was never the problem. But there was so much fear and anxiety, resentment, everything you think of negative emotion, that was me my whole life, even before I picked up a drink. And I'm not going to get too much in depth on my vision of my higher power of God when I was a child, because it's pretty skewed because of my environment. I grew up in an alcoholic home. My father was sober for 39 years, so I've had a real gauntlet in the spiritual realm. But that's my journey, and I appreciate it today, and I didn't while I was going through it, believe me. I got sober July 4th, 1985. Pretty dark time in my life. And that's the way somebody talked about oozing black out of every orifice. And that was a really good description of how black I felt in my head. Negativity and evil and everything else you want to talk about like that. There was no road for any good from me that I felt. That's how bad I felt about myself. And I didn't understand. See, I thought drinking was the only problem. Drinking wasn't really the problem, come to find out. I was the problem. I had what I call the spiritual disease. And I've been on a journey way before I even got to AA to how to fit my God into my life and how to best serve Him, even when I was drinking. The steps opened me up to a different perspective, I guess is the best word, of my higher power. I know what's going to happen before I'm done here tonight. I'm going to end up crying. And I'm all right with that, because God and I are good today, even though I'm still a big screw-up. And that's okay. I believe by the time I die, I will have only scratched the surface of a spiritual way of life. But where I've come from to where I'm at today, that hole is pretty much filled. That dark pit hole is pretty much filled inside of me. And it didn't happen until probably step 11. And I started getting a better relationship with my higher power. I was telling Dave, I gave Dave a ride tonight, and I was telling Dave, I pulled up my dad's 24-hour book. I've got some of his stuff, and it means a lot to me today because my dad and I fought like hell, and we didn't get along very good. But the last 2 years of his life, I understood that man a lot better, and in doing so, I understood myself a lot better. And so specifically on step 11, sought to me means seeking and ever seeking a closer relationship with my God. I didn't know how to pray when I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. And if I don't pray correctly, I'm quite sure I'll get corrected when I come before Him. But I treat my higher power as a friend today, and I talk to Him all day long. And I talk to Him just like I talk to other people, with a little bit of more respect, because I know what I I deserved, and I didn't receive that from my Father in heaven. So that being said about prayer, that's talking to God. Meditation, you're supposed to listen to God. I still talk a lot more than I'm supposed to when it comes to God, myself, and listening. And that'll probably always be the case. And I think he's all right with that, because I haven't heard him say no yet. Biggest benefit outwardly I can tell you that is benefit I can say comes from this step is an emotional balance I have today, for the most part. Nothing in this emotional journey that I've carried on for 57 years, almost 58, has been anything but perfect and never will be. It's an ongoing, ever-learning process. And usually I learn when things are bad. Because when things are good, why change it? Why change? That's been my view since I got here. You know, my whole life. But I try not to do that as much as I used to. I spend time with my God every day, in the morning specifically. That's when I do my quiet time, meditation. And that's been an ongoing developing. There are some days I can sit there and be quiet for a fair amount of period. Most days it's a couple of minutes at best. I'm all right with it. My higher power shows up because I have a better relationship with him when I need him or when I want him. He shows up sometimes when I need him and I don't want him. I'll give you an example. It's been a while since I worked. A lot of you know I've got an injury. I'll get into that in a little bit. I was at work one day, and this guy irritated me. It doesn't matter about what. But it was rolling around in my head what I was going to say to him. And I could pretty much tell you, there was another voice in him going, Ed, you shouldn't say that. Ed, you shouldn't say that. Ed, you shouldn't have said that. I can all but hear the words. If I'm in good kind, I was. Even though I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing, that contact was there, and I felt his presence. I can't even put that into words. I really can't. I've got a peace that surpasses all understanding. And it's never been put better than that. I guess a simple explanation of why I believe in my God and what I'm supposed to do through step 11. I'm not going to talk through 12. That's not my job. I ain't coming back to you tomorrow. But the simple explanation about God is love. He loved me enough to show me Alcoholics Anonymous and new people. The love was shown through that way. My simple responsibility is to show that love back to everybody I encounter in this world, alcoholic or not. I didn't feel worthy of anybody's love or any being's love until I surrendered to his will. And I knew this was going to happen. It's hard for me to talk about this because it's so special to me and it's so close to my heart. Because I know the depths of hell that I came out of. And most of us can relate to that. And I will say this about that depth of hell. There are moments that I stand at the abyss and want to jump off, even still to this day. The feelings are sometimes still there. But that's because I need a closer contact with my God than I have today. And I'm all right with that. I know where I'm at today. There was a couple turning points in my recovery. Real quick, I didn't do crap for the first 10 years. Nothing. Then I got sicker. That's no joke. Not, you know. I was about 15 years sober-ish. and had a heart attack. And I was laying in intensive care. And the doctor came in the next morning and goes, "Hey, do you have any stress in your life?" That's kind of like an aha moment for an alcoholic who's supposed to be in recovery for 15 years. I had no peace. I was having so much anxiety and stress, so-called due to my job, because I was throwing up on the way to work 3 to 5 times a week. I had more anger than when I come into program. And that went on for a couple of years. You know, I'm a stubborn old German, and I'm going to fight this thing to the end. And fighting about killed me. It did. It almost literally killed me. Somewhere in that time frame, I still get my time frame mixed up. It was a bad time in my life. By this time, I'm married to my second wife. We have a child. We're going to church. And through that church, went through one new weekend. Dave knows about it, probably a few other people do. My wife's helping out one this weekend. Went on that weekend. Never ever felt the love of God as I ever did, like I did that weekend. That was a turning point in my recovery. It was a turning point in my life. And guess what? It didn't get any better. I still suffered. It wasn't long after that I was in a really bad mental state, emotional state. Probably the pit of my spiritual disease. About 18 years sober, dry, I wanted to put a bullet in my head. Young Long shows up a sponsor that I had to this day. Not quite that simple. I'm pulling out a few things. I'm sensitive here. Because I finally received the gift of desperation. I had never felt that desperate before in my whole life. It was my real bottom. It was my emotional and spiritual bottom that I never felt early on. Never did the second half, the first step. Skipped around on the steps. So lo and behold, I have a great sponsor. Well, he is a great channeler, I guess you'd say. Like, hopefully I can become. If I'm not, hopefully I am, but he's passed on what's been taught to him and showed to him. Sponsors Jim B. He will be giving that 1 through 12 in a few months. First, I learned from him how he lived. I watched him. You can learn about a lot of things, how to live these 12 steps by watching people and spending time with them outside the rooms. I highly suggest that. So we worked the steps to the best of my ability. I've worked them a couple times since then. I was around 20 years sober. First time, 1 through 12, in a timely manner. Don't recommend it to anybody to go that long without doing it. Surprised I didn't put a bolt in the head before that. That being said, I most of the time only hear one voice, and that's my higher power's voice in my head. And that's not a joke. These are the faces of the voices in my head that used to be there. And I had a lot of neural negative. It was no good. You're not worthy. You can't do that. Nobody loves you. I don't feel that no more. I feel the love of God through you people every day, and I feel the presence of my higher power in my life every day. See, I don't think my journey has been a journey of success. It's been a journey of surrender, ultimately. And I wasn't willing to ready to surrender earlier, and that was to be my journey. But I will tell you this. If it's what it took to get to this point standing here today, I'd do it all over again. I'm sorry for the people I hurt along the way, but I'd do everything all over again to get me to this point. To feel the love of you people and my God, it was supposed to be my journey. My wife and I were talking a couple days ago. Last night she just got the first Allen on me. She's been going Allen for 2 years. Last 2 years have been a blessing in a lot of ways. But since my son graduated high school in 2011, I could have never predicted what's gone on in our lives. 99% did. Even this, I got hurt at work over 3 years ago. Not back to work, probably won't go back to that job, and we're in limbo. That's the best way I want to put it right up here right now. It's been the best thing for my spiritual program. And I've had to really dig. But I was conscious enough in my brain this time go around when I've had a pit. I knew how to dig and I knew where to go to get help, my sponsor and friends in the program, and I dug. It's been almost a year now, just before the first of the year last year. Went to Pittsburgh and the doctor tried to put me back to work. I come home, I'm sitting in the house all by myself, and I had a familiar old foe return to my being. It was the biggest wave of fear I have experienced in my life. Or I just wasn't used to it, one of the two. And it's the first time I ever got to my knees to my higher heart. The experience, best experience of my life. Took a long time to break this old German, let me tell you. Because I wasn't supposed to cry. I wasn't supposed to admit weakness of any kind. But through weakness comes strength. I'm going to read this and I'm done. This is out of my dad's 24-hour book. Oh, I didn't even realize the date till today. September 8th was my mom and dad's anniversary. Oh, excuse me, it was October 8th. See, my brain's not even right. But I'm going to read a prayer for the day at the bottom. I pray that I may walk in God's love. I pray that as I go, I may feel the spring of God's power in my steps and the joy of His love in my heart. That really simplifies how I feel about my higher power and you people. You've given me a pathway to my higher power, what I always dreamed of and I never thought was possible. I never thought it was worthy. There is so much potential through the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And it's success through surrender. I fought this thing for so many years. And guess what? It's really simple. I've got to give up. How hard is that? It's pretty damn hard. So I'm going to stop there. So, move on. Do I sit down? I got to sit down, right?
Ed, I'd like to thank you. I think that's probably one of the greatest 11 steps I'll ever hear to talk about. And I appreciate it because I know it came from the heart. I've heard you talk about it before. And with that, we have questions here, if I can get the mic working.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine. It's all good.
Oh, it's working. Yeah, would anybody like to ask Mike a question?
Brenda,
that,
you're not allowed.
That has a, is related to step 11. And Brenda, you are allowed. All right, somebody's got to have a question.
Made them all speechless. Uh-oh.
It's not a question.
She gets a report to Charlie. I'm in trouble.
No. I don't Yes, you do.
Use the mic I had, too.
Must I?
Yes.
How's that?
Stand up, too, please.
Oh, just kidding.
Just kidding.
Ed, I've just been thinking, I can't believe I have to talk on a microphone. It's fine. I'm Terry. I'm an alcoholic. I've been thinking about telling somebody something, and you just told me, you just showed me that I won't. Big deal. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. That's good.
Anybody else? Evan, I know you do. I know.
You're loud, Brenda.
Yeah. Rena, alcoholic.
Hi, Rena.
You mentioned fear right before you ended, and I'm experiencing a lot of fear in my life right now. If you could tell me how you dealt with that through step 11, please.
Fear ruled my life for a lot of years, and it can still rule today if I let it. That's where the surrender part comes in. You know, I have fear every day of my life, but it's not overwhelmingly uncontrollable fear. I have more peace than I do fear. And that's through building a relationship with my higher power. And it's something I can't tell you how to do. I can't tell you how to surrender. I can't tell you how to develop. I can give you suggestions like I did from tonight. What I spoke of tonight was my long, arduous journey. But don't stop. Dig in. Surrender. I mean, it's simple, but it's the most difficult thing I ever did in my life. And I had to have the gift of desperation where it got so bad long enough where I gave up. And it had nothing to do with the drinking. Nothing at all to do with the drinking. Period. I was so afraid of everything and everybody. I was afraid to let anything and everybody in to help me. And that I can't really give you any direct advice. That's a journey you got to go on, I believe. But don't give up and don't stop talking about it. You plug up the fear and it's going to grow inside you. You get it out, talk to a lot of people about it, get it out. You might find an answer by talking to somebody. You're going to hear something, maybe that'll help you. That's the best I could do for you.
Anybody else?
Hi, my name is Lisa and I'm alcoholic.
Lisa.
Maybe you already answered this question, but when you're talking about fear and it's a journey and that, did you find that there was a lot of people that you connected with that gave you that aha? I know you said you had that, but along your journey, special people that have said things that just stuck with you, that helped you along the way?
Everything I spoke of was not my, none of it was my own. None of it that anybody has ever speaks in here is our own. It's all passed down through each other, and it's passed down through God. None of it's our own. Nothing's original. But I say the most influential person, and he doesn't even know this. Well, he probably does because he's up there, not my dad. My dad and I had 2 years at the end of his life that we came very, very close. And by knowing my father, finally, is a human being in his failings, I learned so much more about my own because I was kind of like a carbon copy of him in a lot of ways. And it helped me so much more than he'll ever know, you know. And that's the most best influence I can tell you directly that I can think of, other than everybody. There's been people along the way. I'm not going to start naming names because I don't think that's fair. I really don't. You know. But you're going to find some special people in your life. May not be your sponsor. But some good friends will develop in these rooms. And my best advice for anybody is spend time with people outside the rooms, doing other things than just in the meetings where we all do really well and we sound really great about Alcoholics Anonymous. We do good in meetings. Spend time with people outside the rooms, doing other things, and going to meetings. That's it. Anybody else?
Jeff, alcoholic.
Jeff. Hey, Ed, great message, and I love the emotion, the passion, showing, you know, letting your guard down, you know, letting that shield and being vulnerable and asking, you know, for God's help. That's a great message. My question is, when you do your prayer meditation, is it just a simple prayer you do, or is it just, hey, you're in a one-on-one conversation with your higher power?
You know, my prayer, specifically my prayer, I talk to God all day long. But in the morning, I've learned to try to pare that down. Because there's limited time with my higher power, because I haven't found the key that unlocks all the doors yet. And I'm still working on that. And there's a little bit of contact there with my meditation yet. So I've learned to try to pare that time down and just sit in quiet with Him. That's the best I can tell you. You know, I've heard a lot of different ways to meditate. It's something I had to develop on my own. And my wife said it best, and she didn't even know she said it. It's like going in the outdoor all those years, and the damn thing wouldn't open up. So I surrendered and sat on my butt, and the damn thing door opened. You know, it's something you just have to kind of let God in. That's what I finally had to do. Instead of going to God, you got to let God come to you. That's the way I had to do it.
Anybody else? I knew I'd come
you were going to
ask.
He's got a patent list, I think.
Several things. Ed, thank you for coming out. We really appreciate it. Second thing is I want to comment on your tie. I think that it shows respect for the meeting. It shows respect for AA. I know when I first came in, one of the things I was told was to dress appropriately.
The sponsor has spies out too.
Oh yeah, believe me, they're everywhere too. So I appreciate the respect that you have for the program. I think if people don't know that, that's what we do. That's what we do. The other thing is, Terry, why we use the microphone is because this is recorded, and what happens is that when somebody else is listening to it, they hear... But no, I'm just saying, I'm just letting you know that's why we do it. And it comes out a lot better. Sometimes people say, well, I have a big loud voice and I can do that. And it doesn't come out. So that's just a general announcement. A couple of questions, Ed. You know, you mentioned that your first 15 years you were pretty much dry. Now, did you go to meetings then, or did you just...
Went to a lot of meetings.
You went to a lot of meetings, but you
didn't... Mean and angry, nasty. Shoved everybody away. I didn't have any friends in AA to speak of. I did, but I didn't want to do anything with it.
So
I was a recluse, went to meetings, made everybody's life miserable around me.
So, like, you came in late and left early, or kind of
No, I stayed around.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. If I didn't come in early, we thought just before the meeting. Back in the day, when I first got here, if you didn't get to a meeting 20 minutes, a half hour early, you got yelled at by some old-timer. Let me tell you, it wasn't no joke either.
Oh, you're right. You're absolutely right, yeah. And then, like today, you described the joy that you have today as a result of staying sober. Did that just evolve in time? And when you're working with somebody on the 11th step, how do you approach that with them?
Well, to be honest with you, I'm not sure what the guy's doing now. I went through the steps once with somebody, and he's not around no more. I hope he's not using, at least. I just recently acquired 2 pigeons. So we're going to find out.
All right. Well, that's good. That's great.
Soon you let it become, huh?
One of the things you mentioned, that most of the day is kind of a prayer for you, and that's kind of the way your spiritual, as my essence, spiritually does that over time. One of the other things that I learned, I'd like you, if you would, to read your prayer again, because I was told that the prayer, sometimes it's good to have a dialogue with God, but it's also, you know, there's a lot of great prayers out there, and for us to think that we can create a better prayer than perhaps some of the people before us, it helps with our own spiritual discipline. So if you could read that, I would
Really appreciate that.
All right. If you want to look it up, it's September 8th in the 24-hour day book. It says, I pray that I may walk in God's love. I pray that as I go, I may feel the spring of God's power in my steps and the joy of His love in my heart.
Thanks. Thanks very much. And finally, what I'd like to know is if you could briefly describe how your 11th step evolved from where it was when you first approached it to where it is perhaps today, where that joy that you talked about in today?
Well, as I said, when I first got here, I went through 1 through 5. Did my best. It wasn't very good. And then I jumped around. I really didn't do any step work until almost 20 years old. I really did. And that's a sucky way to live, let me tell you. I can't describe it any other way. I've seen the dark and I've seen the light. I like the light a lot better. Spirit of the light. I mean, it's sunlight of the spirit has never been put so aptly. And I don't recommend that to anybody. But it was what I was looking for my whole life. It was right in front of my nose. You know, all the answers are there in the 12 steps. It's amazing how simple it is.
Well, thanks, Ed. Thanks. Anybody else have a question?
Here we go. Dave and I are buds. I love him.
Dave, alcoholic.
Hey, Dave.
You know, you said something early on in your talk. You know, it was about your sponsor. And the sponsor's job is to take us through the steps.
Yep.
But then you said the one thing that was important for me to hear was he didn't tell you how to stay sober. He showed you what a sober life looked like.
Yes.
And when you get to see that, that's when the steps become real.
Yeah.
Because you see them working in somebody else's life.
Exactly.
And, you know, and I can see it working in your life.
Now, you me back in the day, when I was so happy with life.
Again, Ed, I'd like to thank you. I think you did a great job. You didn't let me down, and I knew you wouldn't. I'm going to have to come up with another step for you to do for me one day. But a great job. Paycheck.
Thank you.
And even the corner. 14 karat gold.
Ooh, thank you. Thank you.